12. Romans chapter 12. Let's go there. We're going to look at verse number 6 to verse number 8, and we'll focus in on verse 8 there when we get to that. Here it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So these are gifts, as we discovered in Romans 12, and there's other chapters in Scripture in the New Testament talks about gifts of the Spirit that God gives to the church, to the people of the church through the Holy Spirit, to help accomplish God's will and ministry through the church. And the ones that we see here in this chapter, verses 6, 7, and 8, the gifts of prophecy, we've looked at that one, speaking under God's influence with the purpose to edify, exhort, and comfort. The gift of ministry, which is serving, to be Christ-like, focused on good works that meet needs, material needs, service servants, and even physical needs to be helping with that. Gift of teaching, those that our God uses to help call us to expand the congregation's knowledge of God. That's important. We need to know what God's word is, has to say for us to learn of him. The gift of exhortation, which means to beseech, to comfort, and urging through words, to urge for saving faith and urge love and good works amongst God's people. The gift of giving, that's where we're at. We're on that part of the verse number 8. Giving, or giveth here, as it says, means to share what is at our disposal. We looked at the importance of giving in the Christian life. Jesus explained it. That it should be a good gift, like our Father gives. He says, give good gifts. Give as if you were in need. You were the one, and consider it that way. Know that God provides for you as we give. And this is in general for all believers, because Jesus gave himself. He's our ultimate example. Then we saw monetary giving. I looked at that in Scripture, and we're continuing that. It is an agreement between you and God. And different types of monetary giving we looked at last week, alms, which help meet the needs of the poor. And in the Old Testament, the tithe, the tenth of the household increase. By the way, we found the chapter we needed, only I switched the books. That should be Exodus 26:12, not Deuteronomy. And the other one should be Deuteronomy 35:29. So yeah, we're going to get there eventually. So those that were with us, you might remember that I forgot to put the two there. But Exodus 26 talks about the tithe. The free will offering is from a gift from the heart for God, a heart for God. It's not something that was required. It's not something that God says you got to have this much in order to accomplish the free will offering. It's something that God lays on a person's heart. They have a desire to please him. And that's what they call it in Scripture. The New Testament giving talks about God's prospering individually, prospering. And we said, we showed that the word prospering means what also? Was anybody here last week with us, Les? God's prospering means God's favor, blessing, etc. As he gives prosperity or prospereth, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians there, to give in that regard. So that's the New Testament. The Holy Spirit's giving through gifted individuals. This is where we stopped last week. Giving especially that is needed for the work of the Lord at home or abroad. And let's look at this Philippians 4. Let's go there. We're going to look at it again a little bit later, but let's see what it has to say in Philippians chapter 4 in regards to the giving. Verse number 15 to verse number 19. And let's read those together. Would you read those with me, please? Verses 15 to verse 19. We're in Philippians chapter 4. Let's go ahead and read those together. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were not sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So tonight we want to continue on looking at, first of all, the Holy Spirit's giving through gifted individuals. Gifted does not mean, you know, they have some kind of super strength or whatever, but what is God's, and the key word is that word prospereth in 1 Corinthians 16. As God prospereth, what does that mean and how can that God use that for the needs of his people in the church? Let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask God to help us before we go any further, and then we'll continue on. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you provide every day, dear Lord, even today. You've given us so much, Lord. Just to be here tonight is a blessing, Lord, to know or at least to have the safety and security. There's no rockets that are planning to be bombed here. There's no people planning to rush into our building and hurt us, Lord, though we still need your protection. We still need your guidance and direction. And I just pray, Father, help us to realize with all the things that we may know, we still need faith in you as we meet tonight. May you get the glory through the things we see in Scripture. Help us, Lord, to use it for your glory and your honor and to lift up the Lord Jesus. And I ask this in his name. Amen. The giving through gifted individuals. We have some Scripture here. We have some Scripture. Who would look up 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 8. And Isaac's got that. Thank you. Then we have 2 Corinthians, Philippians 4. Let's have someone read that. Have that ready. Philippians 4. Verses 15 through 19. We've just read it, but somebody could read it for us in just a minute. We're going to look at some specific verses. Who would be willing to do that? All right, Daryl, thank you. That's Philippians 4 there. And then we have 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. Vicki's got that. Thank you. Then 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12 and 13. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12 and 13. Who would have take that? All right, Sister Carolyn's got that. Thank you. And then we'll all finish in Philippians 1 there. We'll all finish there. If you want to turn with me, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to look at verse number 7 to verse 11. Talking about God's gifts of the Spirit when the Holy Spirit uses them to help in the church. Looking at verse number 7, these gifts or this individual that God's using includes God's favor, that's the blank, at or for giving for the specific need. Now, what are we talking about? Let's take a look in 1 Peter 4. Take a look at verse 7. Here's what it says. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. What am I reading to? Verse 11. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, I believe verse 10 talks about all gifts, all that God has working through the people here. Let's use those gifts for His glory. But you can see, obviously, in verses 8, verse 9, etc., that what he's focusing on in this short passage is caring for one another, helping one another. He says hospitality, he talks about charity, etc., in ways that we can be a help. But that certainly would include a monetary way if needed. So here's the idea, this includes God's favor at or for giving for specific needs. Sometimes we have the means to give. Sometimes we don't have the same means at another time. Others have maybe more time, etc. You see what I'm saying? That God lays on the heart of the individual. All right, here we are. We've got the means. Let's put it into to the glory of God for using for this particular need that would honor Him and would glorify Christ. God's favor at or for giving for a specific need. Sometimes we have that favor. Sometimes it's a little bit tight. It's a little bit tight. It shouldn't always be tight, by the way. If it's always tight, there's somebody who's involved in that, and it's not just God. That's the way I choose to use whatever God's provided, because we'll see later on, there's a reason why God provides for us or uses that for His glory. But favor, it should be at a time or for giving for specific need. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5 through 8 gives us another thought about those that God gifts to give.
Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Okay, thank you very much. Here, Scripture tells us that this is a gift enabled by the Spirit, but it's an amount personally, that's the blank, personally chosen. Obviously, the need might be announced. Somehow we heard about this in from church or in a newsletter, whatever, word got back. This is a need, but the gift is personally chosen. What's the amount? And so forth. And God says there's a blessing as we give for Him, as we give for Him. And in Scripture, He says sparingly, then we might see a sparing reward. Not to come back necessarily in tenfold. There is a teaching out there of, what do they call it? Prosperity giving or something like that. Yeah. So if you give a dollar, you're going to get 10 back. How many have ever seen that happen? I haven't either. that's not God's teaching, obviously. Usually with snake oil guys like that, they might see the 10 back, but nobody else who gives to them does. No, in God's plan, it's we're honoring Him, and He does bless. Does it mean He blesses always with money? Well, it could be other things that He provides for our needs at the time. But He says, I will take care of you. And part of it is in response to your responding to the need. So enabled by the Spirit, an amount personally chosen. No one should pick it for you. Obviously, you can seek counsel on anything that God wants, and that's a wise thing to do, but it should be from the heart. Again, Philippians 4, we're going to talk about, move on to the blessings of giving that is led by the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4. And I think Daryl's got that for us again to read in verses 15 to 19.
Church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received the Epaphroditus, the things which are set from you, as an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Okay, thank you again. Here we see, in consideration of being led of the Spirit in our giving, God promises the giver's need will be supplied. Supplied, that's the word he uses in verse number 19. My God shall supply all your need. Are we looking to him? Well, this type of giving does look to the Lord for supply, and he may use other avenues to meet it, but the individual is looking to the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 and 8, we heard Isaac share there that God adds contentment. The word is sufficiency in verse number 7, I think it is, with his supply. God adds contentment, that is the blank, with his supply. Would you say that contentment is a, could that be a reason or lack of it for our financial situation sometimes? Contentment. What's the old poem they used to say when you get married? So somebody's saying it, but I can't remember how it starts. Oh, yeah, okay. I was thinking of something else, but that's true too, I suppose. here it is. Here it is. Actually, it wasn't necessarily for married couples, but use it up, wear it out, buy it new, or do without. Use it up, wear it out, buy it new, or do without. Contentment has something to do to say that, Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm going to use that for you. I'm going to be content. Contentment is not going into the debt in order to buy what you don't need, but certainly contentment is sufficient. God provides that. He adds that to the reward of giving. But I like what you said. It'd be a few more than just two of us at our house today, I think, yeah. God blesses giving, and it's led by the Spirit of God. What about, as the Bible says here in Romans 12, the simplicity? Simplicity. Take a look again at verse number 8 in Romans 12. He says this. He says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Simplicity. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Simplicity. that it's not complicated. That it's not for some type of gain. In fact, Philippians 4:17 says there, and Daryl read it, and we read it also. Not because I desire a gift, Paul said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The motive is not for recognition or any personal gain. That's the blank. The motive is not for recognition or any personal gain. What does Jesus say? A gift given in secret, what? Shall be rewarded openly, is what he said. And that's not because the giver desires an open gift, but certainly that God recognizes the heart. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 and 2.
Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality.
Okay, thank you very much. And then 2 Corinthians 9, verses 12 and 13.
Unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and and unto all men.
Okay, thank you. When does the Bible say the only time it's good to be a liberal? When you give. When you give. And here the Apostle Paul, recognizing that in 2 Corinthians, the giving is liberal. That means it's with generosity. Generosity. Above what perhaps we think may be needed, but that God can work and use. The giving is liberal. It's with generosity. That's what it means there in 2 Corinthians. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1. Let's go there and we'll finish with this tonight. So all this giving is going on, all right? Praise the Lord. How are we sure that it's being used for God? How do we know? You know, we can just stand out at the curb and just start doling it out, or we can do what the Bible says here in Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 18 to verse number 20. Here it says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, talking about sharing the message of God, of the gospel, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Well, certainly there needs to be discernment in our giving. And the discerning examine if it honors Jesus Christ. If it honors, that's the blank, if it honors Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, of course, looking at everything in life, that I'd magnify Christ by my body, whether it be by life or by death, and certainly that encompasses the ministry and gift of giving. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Does God want to use you that way? It's a rewarding thing to help someone that Jesus says, that's the one I want you to reach, or this is the ministry I want you to help. It's a rewarding thing, but not for you, not for me, but for Christ. For Christ. That's the idea. All right, let's find a partner. Let's pray.